Many people talk about bullying and cruelty, which are toxic to the individual and, of course, to society, as we've been talking about this morning. Fewer people talk about the antidote to this poison, which, of course, is kindness. The book Kindness tells the story of a ram, a rock, a mouse, and a life-changing encounter. It's a story for all ages because we're never too young or old to be reminded about that wonderful gift of being kind, that little nudge, that little tap on the shoulder to remind us, with a powerful message written by entrepreneur and educator Judith Barnes and innovation engineering business consultant Eric James. The book has stunning illustrations by Jeff Grader, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Judy Barnes to the roundtable this morning. Always a delight to have you here. Thank you very much.
Same to be here.
Give us a sense of how this came about, of writing about this very simple thing that we forget a lot.
The story was actually written 10 years ago, but it bears no resemblance to the original story now. And Jeff Grader and I met every Thursday morning at Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock on the phone. He's in Massachusetts, to develop the story. And, you know, the book kind of wrote itself. As the illustrations developed, the story changed. And characterizing a rock and characterizing a ram and characterizing a mouse is not the easiest thing for me to do as a writer.
Why not?
I don't call me foolish.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it changed because, I mean, there's so many levels of allegory and metaphor in there. And the rock stands up to the ram. The ram is kind of ill-behaved, shall we say. He's the bully. He's the not-so-kind guy. And the rock stands up to him and prevents him from passing and spreading the toxin. And then we wound up characterizing the ram in a more, I think, hospitable way. He didn't become just a bully. You saw kind of his underbelly, you know?
One of the things that I liked about the book is that the rock is the obstacle, and it's an inanimate object. The blood isn't coursing through its veins. It's not something
right.
that you can feel its pulse and say, I'm going
right.
to get you.
Right. And did you see that great picture of when you open the book and you look at that rock, the face of the rock?
Yeah.
That's Jeff Grader's face. He looked in the mirror and he used some of his own features to draw the rock. And, you know, we made the rock. I mean, obviously, if you stand up to a bully, you become, in a way, metaphorically, a rock. You know, you have some substance to you. And but we wanted to characterize him not just as a preventer, but as someone who had some sensitivity also.
That doesn't look anything like Jeff.
Yeah. It doesn't have a mohawk. That's
really
what you're saying.
Scary. That's very... he's a wonderful artist, but, you know, come on.
He has his little dark side.
Yeah.
We all have some Scorpio in us.
Well, you know, you talk about the challenge of writing this and telling us about this ram, and I just want to read this one section where you say his horns were thick and twisted, scarred from battles where he had hit and hurt any creature in his path. And that tells us so much about about that character, about the ram, and about what this animal has been through.
Well, Jeff and I have had a little joke. Whenever we got to a point where, and this happened often, where things were difficult for either him from an illustrative standpoint or me from a writing standpoint, we'd go, oh, well, that's easy. You know, and it wasn't. I mean, you know, since I've been on with essays, that I create word pictures with my essays, but he was creating the pictures. And so I needed to characterize the three protagonists in really concise ways. For me, personally, in communication, I mean, the reason that I have been in communication for 40-something years is because I truly feel that I like people and you can help people. I will give them the benefit of the doubt. But I have to tell you something, there's a lot of the rock in me. I mean, I don't accept bad behavior.
Yeah. And then when the mouse comes into the picture and is kind.
Yeah.
You know, you can move mountains.
Right. Yes, exactly.
These are all, this is what I don't get. you know, we all know this stuff. And it's like, I always say this about very simple things. You know, we know this about dieting. You
right.
know, if you eat less and you exercise more, you will lose weight. We know that. Do
right.
we do it? No.
No.
I don't. And kindness. You know, the old adage, you catch more flies with
right.
honey than you do with vinegar.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. We know that. So why don't we do it?
You know, I think that the popular culture has a lot to do with it, in all honesty. I mean, some of the things that you see on some of the Survivor and some of the reality shows, they're just ill-behaved.
Yeah.
And so that becomes, and then, of course, we're just coming off of a presidential election and a lot of local elections where, very frankly, you know, I had to turn off the TV. I had to turn off the news. Because there were so many, it was hard to get at what policies anybody was espousing after, you know, over the nastiness.
Yeah.
So that sets kind of a national tone. And there's a school of thought in communication, where, you know, contagion, viral contagion, based on that once you have that spread, that becomes the dominant tone.
When you have that dominant tone, it becomes where you think kindness would be in the majority, it comes almost in the minority.
Right.
And when it is excised, when it is used, it seems even more powerful than it would be otherwise.
It really does. I was really, really, I tend to be nice. And I was...
I've always found that.
Yeah, thank you. And I about you.
Second, your
self-evaluation. And somewhat cheeky, but, you know, but basically nice. And,
yeah.
And I was kind to somebody the other day that was so not expecting it in a store. And they were shocked. And I asked them, of course, coming out of communication and some field surveys, I said, why were you so shocked? And they said, you have no idea what we see. I mean, it was a ticket counter agent for an airline. And the person in front of me was so ill-behaved that when it was my turn, I got up to the ticket counter and I said, I really don't think that guy should be in the gene pool. And I apologize for him because you should not have to take care. You know, you shouldn't have to suffer that kind of behavior.
Right.
And he was stunned.
What is it? It seems to me, and I've talked a lot about this. In fact, we're working on a project on this subject of civility, which obviously falls into kindness.
Right.
But it's a question of where do we get this sense of an entitlement where it's as simple as when people cross the street and they expect the traffic to stop for them, that
right.
they then become the center of the universe and that we must stop. And we stop because we don't want to hit them. We don't want our insurance to go up and we don't want to take their life, you know. But by the same token, there's probably a part of us going, you know, what are you doing? You know,
right.
And so how do they become at that moment the center of the universe without realizing that of affording a simple kindness of allowing traffic to flow at a normal pace?
Well, I will answer a question with a question.
Yeah.
Have you read Christopher Lasch's book, The Culture of Narcissism?
Yes.
1976. Now, he's been dead quite so
yes.
many years, but he's probably roiling in his grave. Not rolling, but roiling, because he couldn't have envisioned, because the technology was not around, the extent to which people would become stars in their own shows. You know, in their mind. And so the technology, which I find remarkably useful and helpful, has also fostered a certain self-focus. And, you know, one of the things that I have found in communication is that people just don't pay much attention to it. They think if they open their mouth and sound comes out that that's communication. But real communication is an art and a science and a tool, which is how I teach it, is really nuanced. You have to really listen to the other person. You have to develop empathy. And kindness is critical to empathy.
You know, I had a similar story you were telling about the airport, and I was at Penn Station in New York over the last weekend, and I was sitting and I was waiting for my train to come back on Sunday morning, And I was sitting down and maybe I had 10, 15 minutes for the train. And I was watching a woman struggle with coming up the escalator. Now, I was at the top, but she was struggling coming up the escalator. And there's all these people behind her. And I was just fascinated because she was an elderly woman.
Right.
And no one helped. I mean, and it wasn't as if people weren't looking, just no one helped. So, I went over and I went down and I, you know, as the thing is coming up, I'm going down and I took her arm and I took the suitcase and I brought her up. And she said, I was in a precarious position for almost 5 minutes. I'm surprised it took that long before anyone helped me, you know. And I said to her, I was surprised too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And that's why when you look at the cover, that's why the cover is a dark black background with just that small hole and looking
well,
at the
like
sky.
Well, that's the vortex.
It is the vortex. And we did not even put our names on the front cover because we really wanted to make a statement that the world is a dark and frightening place without kindness. And, you know, if you don't do what you do or what I do or what other kind people do, and we dedicated the book. The dedication says, this is dedicated to you and the other people who value kindness.
Yeah. Now, here's where the disconnect comes. This is what I don't understand. So then Sandy comes roaring up the coast.
Right.
And people are in genuine need.
Right.
And we come out of the woodwork.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have that gene. It kicks in.
Right.
And we are kind.
Right.
We come to their aid. People go down to New York. They help rebuild houses.
Right.
They give money. They give food. They bring people to their homes.
Right.
So why it's in us. What does it take to engage it just in everyday life of something not as horrific as a storm?
Right.
But as something as trivial as the wheel of my shopping cart isn't working.
You know, I think it's a sad commentary on one hand, and I liken it to allergic responses. You can have an allergy to three or four different substances, and if they stay below the threshold, you're not bothered by them.
Right.
But the minute something goes above the threshold, then all hell breaks loose, and you wind up having, you know, whatever symptoms of an allergic response you have. And I think that the storm, you know, brings out the I'll help, but small things, and someone said, and I can't remember right now, that the small things in life are actually the big things in life.
Sure.
And so the small things don't tend to, and the big things do.
Because we all feel like we have our own problems.
Exactly. And, you know, we all do.
Which we do, right.
Yeah, right. But that wouldn't preclude a bit of kindness. But I think if you look at the snipping that takes place, you know, that's why we wrote the book. And that's why it wasn't like bullying wasn't the title. It was kindness because we really wanted to get the word out there.
And it's at the root of so many. I mean, it could be political. It can be
absolutely
anything.
Well, that's why we said a story for all ages. And you know, no matter where the cruelty takes place or what age, it's still cruelty.
The name of the book is Kindness. You're going to be signing this.
Yes, we are.
At the Bookhouse.
Bookhouse noon to 2 tomorrow,
yep.
Saturday, and then at Market Block Books, 3 to 4:30 on Saturday.
So both signings tomorrow, the first at the Bookhouse, the second at Market Block Books, and you can go to bhny.com for more information. Judy Barnes, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. It's a beautiful book. Congratulations
Thank you very much.
And to all responsible. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.